What do you get when you cross a wall unit with artificial intelligence? Shelf awareness. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode number 473 of this here electronic engineering podcast brought to you by eejournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Why, yes, AI is the name of the game of this week's podcast. My guest is Yasser Khan, founder and CEO of MicroAI. Yasser and I are chatting about what sets MicroAI apart from other edge AI providers, the benefits of proactive maintenance at the edge versus the cloud, and how MicroAI is advancing the next generation of smart machines. But before we bring in Yasser, you know it, you love it, it's time for a little news you may have missed. So, as you may already know, I'm a big fan of DeepMind AI technology. Here on Fish Fry, I have investigated how DeepMind has been able to predict rainfall and how it has helped cool Google's data centers. And now, DeepMind is taking on a whole new foray into scientific research, restoring incomplete ancient texts. And guess what? It has an impressive degree of accuracy. So, the idea here is to enhance the research into the history of human writing, and specifically to bring clarity into ancient inscriptions that have been moved from their original location, or were unable to be accurately dated, or have been damaged over time. Now, the DeepMind team hasn't gone into this kind of monumentous project alone. Oh no, they teamed up with scientists and historians from England, Italy, and Greece in order to train their new AI tool, which is called Ithaca, named after the Greek island described in Homer's Odyssey. And they used a huge digital dataset of Greek inscriptions that included both complete words and individual characters as inputs. Like I said earlier, it did really well. In terms of restoring damaged text, it had an accuracy of around 62%. When it came to identifying the original location of text, this Ithaca AI tool had an accuracy of around 71%. It was also able to correctly date text to around 30 years of the date of creation. So how does this new Ithaca AI tool compare with expert historian human brains? Well, in experiments, expert historians were only able to achieve around a 25% accuracy when restoring ancient texts. So compared to Ithaca's 71%, I'd say that's a pretty big leap forward. But this Ithaca AI tool certainly doesn't take human guidance out of the picture completely. Since Ithaca is a research tool, it actually generates several different text prediction hypotheses. And historians then choose from those predictions which text should be correct. Ithaca's prediction when it comes to the original location of a text or the dating of an ancient text is actually a little different. In these cases, it actually provides a map with a probability distribution for 84 different ancient regions. And get this, the DeepMind research team is now also working on versions trained on other ancient languages, such as Mayan, Hebrew, and Demotic, which is an ancient Egyptian script. And even better, they have made Ithaca open source and also launched a free interactive version of it online as well. So, if you'd like to learn even more about how DeepMind is working in cooperation with historians to bring new clarity to our understanding of past civilizations, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, including a link to the associated research paper called Restoring and Attributing Ancient Texts Using Deep Neural Networks. All right, from ancient texts to smart machines, let's keep this AI train trucking right along. Please welcome Yasser Khan, founder and CEO of Micro AI. Hi, Yasser. Thank you so much for joining me.
Pleasure to be here.
Excellent. Okay, so first off, for my audience who may not know, what is Micro AI all about?
Well, Micro AI is a pretty cool technology, and our focus is to understand machine behavior using artificial intelligence and machine learning. So we learn by observation. Technology we have built works on the power of observation, and it observes the normal behavior of a machine, and then it builds an AI ML model on the machine itself. And with that understanding, you can actually get very deep insights into performance of the machine. You can get insights into the security of the machine, or you can get insights into predictive maintenance of the machine. So that's the technology in the nutshell.
Excellent. Now, Edge AI has many players. So Yasser, what makes Micro AI different from other Edge AI providers out there?
So what makes us different is a number of things. One of the most important things is you might have heard in the news all about how all these connected devices are collecting information and data. And a lot of time this data gets compromised because it's sent in the cloud. Alexa and all these other platforms have had issues where people's data has been compromised. And that's because a lot of this AI revolution is based off cloud native solutions. That means you have to send all your data to the cloud, and then you train a model, and then you get the value from that AI model. But in our approach, we actually train on the endpoint. So no data of yours needs to leave the environment. And because of that, it's a cheaper solution because you're not like spending a lot of money saving all this data in the cloud, which is expensive. As well as it's more secure and protects the privacy because your data remains local to you. It's not compromised.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Now, can you talk a little bit about some of your customers and the solutions you provide?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we're working with companies which are making next generation devices, machine equipment. They are spread all across different spectrum of verticals and horizontals. So for example, we are working with companies in consumer space. We're working with companies who are making equipment for manufacturing. We are working with companies which are in commercial space. So I'll give you one example. Think about a smart water meter becoming a norm. They're all connected. So they collect the information about your water consumption. And then you can get access to all kinds of insights and information on it. So one of the use cases we are trying to solve in this space with the customer is actually run our Micro AI on the smart meter itself. And it builds a model which is unique to you. So every household has a different pattern of water consumption. Your neighbor might be using the water in a different way. They might be watering the lawn like 5 times. They might have a swimming pool at the back. Their trends of water consumption is going to be very different from you. So this kind of a solution cannot be trained in the cloud. You can't really stream the data for every consumer in the cloud, build a model, and then put it back into the device. So here we are deploying solution where we can actually build a model of how you consume water right on the smart meter. And then if you have a water leak, it's going to alert you because your consumption pattern is going to change. And the AI model has already learned on how you consume water. So then it can actually trigger. So this is a very good use case of like how we can keep the data local, build a local AI model, and provide value for a specific use case.
That makes sense. Now, how intuitive is your software? Is it easy to get it up and running?
Yes, it's actually very easy in how you can deploy it. We are partnering up with most of the companies which are in the semiconductor space and making the architecture for all these control systems which go into these smart devices. So think about microcontrollers, microprocessors, companies which are making the connectivity hardware. we are embedding our AI on those architectures. So when somebody wants to make, let's say, the next generation of garage door opener, and they're going to get the certain like chipset or certain silicon which they're going to use to make the control system for that smart device, they can embed our technology right into it.
That makes sense. Now, I read recently about your partnership with Renesas. Now, is it correct that micro AI is providing proactive maintenance at the edge versus the cloud? Now, why would you want to do this? And what are the benefits you're seeing?
In the instances of maintenance, especially when we go into the industrial space, there is an aspect of productivity. So when you have maintenance issues, you lose a lot of productivity. That means you lose a lot of money. That kind of has impact on the bottom line of companies. So we are working with semiconductor companies like Renesas, and we are putting our AI firmware to work with their hardware, which is microcontrollers, microprocessors, the connectivity modules to connect to Wi-Fi or through a mobile network, right? So we are putting the technology on it. So when the OEMs, people who are manufacturing these new generation machines, they want to embed a maintenance use case for their customers because they want to build machines which basically self-diagnose and they can self-propagate the fact that they need maintenance. So that's the future we're working towards, where machines will tell us that something is going wrong and we need maintenance to be done. So for that to happen, it's really important that there's a huge amount of data created by these machines. And that data has to be processed in real time on the machine itself. And that's what we are trying to solve by putting all these AI into the nuts and bolts of these machines itself.
That makes sense. Now, Yasser, you are a software provider and a consulting firm?
So we provide our AI technology. We have a fairly big and very experienced data science team, which helps customers in implementing some of the use cases. We have a very rich set of partners who come in to consult and help customers build the solution. But our focus mainly is on the product which we offer, which actually accelerates the development of an intelligent smart machine. So it provides you the technology which can leapfrog your development process and save you a ton of money and a whole bunch of time, because we have it all ready and ready to plug in.
Excellent. All right, Yasser, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, a lot of us can't have our favorite foods for one reason or another. Either we're on lockdown, we can't get to a certain country. So, Yasser, if you could have one meal right now, it doesn't matter if it's on the other side of the world, you need a passport to get there, what would you have?
Well, I'm a big fan of Japanese food, and I've had the opportunity to travel to Japan many times. And I just like really have a lot of respect and appreciation for their food culture and the amount of like enthusiasm they put into creating these perfect creations, right? So I would love to travel to Japan and have a cuisine called sukiyaki. Would love to do that, you know.
That sounds wonderful. And Japan would be number one on my list as well. Awesome. Well, yeah, sir, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate you inviting me.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EE Journal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And don't forget, if you would like to follow my personal Twitter account, check out Amelia D. 1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. That's right. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on that podcasting platform of your choice. It really does help. Also, if you'd like any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or, heck, you just want to chat, shoot me a line at Amelia, that's A-M-E-L-I-A, at eejournal.com, or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of March 18th, 2022, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.